Sorry about that. I'm not very good to this. Okay. So let's hope that our scribe has taken all the questions. I'm really sorry. I am.
Okay, so thank you, Sylvain.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And all the OM team also working hard also to.
So let's share the next presentation. And again, sorry that I missed the recording for the first one. Okay. So here, this second presentation will be more on the stuff that will impact OM and will impact also components. So as you all know, OM is a kind of special project, as at the end of the day, any new feature on an app will end up in OM, either via OM configuration or because the Docker files, the Dockers from the different projects are be fed into OM. So that means that, unfortunately, OM cannot, some changes that are required by SACOM or by, I would say, best practice are unfortunately have some consequences on all the projects that are inside OM. We try to mitigate that and to really use them as the most important one, but there will be some consequences. So the second thing I want to say before starting is that we don't be shy if we ask you to do something and you have no clue how to do it. Tell us to Christophe, to myself, to any other OM committers. We would be very happy to help. I know that sometimes we are seen as very tough, but the goal really is to force a little bit on this version, so Frankfurt, Gilin, maybe Honolulu. So after we have a really good foundation on the way we deploy, and so we can focus more on what is very cool, the new features, than operational issues and stuff like that. So all the requirements we will show is, I believe, most of the requirements we want to have in order to be very proud and to be sure that we can go to production. The only thing that is missing on all this one is the service, is the airbag, so and a very good IDP support, and that's why we tackle that on service mesh POC. But all the requirements we are showing there is really to enhance the way ONAP is deployed on Kubernetes, in order to have that behind us when it's done and not ahead of us. So during the slide, I will try to show the agenda. So same as the previous presentation, I propose to have the question at the end of the meeting. I try to explain, I tried my best to explain what will be the consequence and what are, in my opinion, so you can argue on that, obviously. What is the effort to make it work on a per on a project on a project? And also, when it's already a TSC must-have, I have put that on the slide, so you know that this one we will not be able to cut out. And this is already something that the TSC has approved. All right. So let's start. So the first one, which is a TSC must-have, is a password-sensitive data removal continuation. As you know, Christophe has started a huge work of trying to find all the passwords and that are hard-coded on the components. And the goal is to remove all of them and to be able to pair an app instance to have a specific set of passwords auto-generated or given by the operation in order to fulfill a security requirement. So on Frankfurt release, what Christophe did is a big foundational work of creating the templates to generate the secret that we need to be able to to say that this secret, for example, if I am NBI and I want to discuss to SO, obviously, if I can say that the password to discuss to SO is from SO N part and not NBI one, in order to not say the same password everywhere, but to have a centralized way from the server part. The client retrieves the secret from the server. And we and when he did all of that, he started to work on MariaDB, Galera, password removal, and PostgreSQL. So all MariaDB, Galera password are now auto-generated if you are using common MariaDB Galera. And I believe that also Clamp, which is not using it yet, is also doing that. So this is very good. And I said most of PostgreSQL password also, because all the ones using the common chart is okay, but the ones that have a PostgreSQL containers embedded in their pod are left untouched now, but we will work on that during this release. There will also be a lot of work on policy password. So almost all of them are set using a specific sequence, but still using the default value. And so the next part will be to auto-generate them. And obviously, all the policy people connected to policy will have to work on it in order to feed them with the right password. So we have also the second part on the secret and sensitive data is obviously the certificates, HTTPS certificates that are used almost everywhere because all the node ports now are using HTTPS. And so also Christophe worked on a specific template named Cert Initializer. And this template automatically retrieves certificates from AS. And some components are using it. I think it's five or six components are using it. But most of the components either have put the certificate in the Helm chart. Some are still have their certificates in the container, which was not allowed in Frankfurt. And so the goal is here to all these certificates to be retrieved automatically using Cert Initializer. So I have put some effort, and again, it's just my point of view, so we may argue on that, but the Cert Initializer part for me is very low effort per component that home team is happy to do with help of component PTLs or component committers, knowing that if you already are using a certificate that has been created by AAS, it's roughly to give us the path where you want to have it, the format. And that's pretty much. So it's quite easy. We have done that for NBI. Christophe Closet has did it on Portal. I have done it on AFSMS. So it's not a big deal once you have understood the stuff. So that's why we would be happy to help you and or to do it most of the time. This is very important as this is quite sensitive data that we are putting that in. It's also a way for the different project to be able to have a specific root CA at the end of the day, which is something which is very important when you want to deploy in production. So the fine password is obviously a bit moderate to complicated depending on the way you have hard-coded that. Here, the goal is to help us to find where the secret the values are, to change the different M chart in order to retrieve them from secrets and to fill the configuration file and all environment variables. And that's where we need your help on that.
If I may add, Sylvain, to that. So yeah, my experience with passwords is that it's maybe not the hardest part to find them, but the problem is to distinguish which values for password are actually related to each other. So sometimes you have a password called, I know, password one or something like that. And this password one is used in multiple places, but not all of them are related to each other. So not all of them in the end of the day should be put, should use a single secret, right? Sometimes it's just a coincidence that the same string is used as a password in different places. And those are the hardest thing to discover, and, you know, trying to figure out how your component works and which password should be provided to in which place, from my experience, is the hardest part. So if you as a people who have a deep knowledge on the component that you maintain could help us and somehow document the passwords, or just say to us that this, when we ask that this password is used for X and this password is used for Y, this would be a tremendous help for us.
Yeah, that's maybe moderate is could have put a bit more than that, but I'm very optimistic. So, but yeah, I
Sylvan.
Yeah,
this is David. When you say no certificates will be allowed on containers or in Helm charts, is that, and that will be enforced. So is that detectable? I mean, you can detect that condition?
Yes.
So we couldn't have a perfect proof or automated perfect proof, but we can have a lot of good signals that may easy to verify on a manual way. So for example, if you are using cert initializer or any AAF automated certificates retrieval, your password will start to the date of the day we have deployed. So if your certificate is not from this date, that means that it's not automatically generated. Same for if it's not from AF, the sense will be different than the other ones. And if we don't have on our M chart the certificate, but you are using HTTPS with the certificate, it's certainly because you are using them in a container. So the detection would be semi-automated. But we, Morgan on the integration team has started a test to retrieve all certificates date, and that would help us a lot to validate this part.
All right, thank you.
All right. Okay. So something that is not coming from SecCom, I believe, even if it's SecCom has asked stuff on logs, is here it's more operational impact. So today, logs are mainly retrieved, put into files, two, three, or four files, audit, metrics, error, and so on. But it's very hard as a gating and operational perspective to debug when you don't have access to this log file, which is very complicated. And so a best practice in Kubernetes world is to use a steady out for logs. Doesn't mandate you not to put that in other places, huh? But it's also to put them in a steady out. And especially that later on, if you want to have centralized log collection, it's also a lot easier to collect this. So if you are using Logback, for example, you have to add an appender in your Logback that XML. So this one is stolen from Clamp. Huh? So I'm not a Logback expert, but I think it's pretty easy to add. The only different change I've made is that the level, I have put that as an environment variable that is allowed by Logback. So that means that for that, with this log level, if we want to move to debug instead of info, it would be helpful for everyone. And here the pattern has to be decided. I don't know by who, maybe log project if it's still alive. Here it's the one from Clamp, but maybe it's not the best one. Maybe it is, I don't know. But that's where we may have to change that. I would love to have this pattern to be a kind of global variable. I don't know yet how to do that in a nice way. So we can be sure that any Java component, any Java component will have exactly the same pattern on STDR. That will help us a lot then on log collection and centralized log collection. So this, there's a lot of components that have already put a specific logback.xml file into Helm chart. So here, the goal would be to add that in this this Helm chart. And again, we can help if needed. So the my opinion is really low effort on component side, especially if you are using logback. If you are not using logback, so for example, I've seen that we have today an SDNC a proposition on changing the log format, the log configuration. It's not exactly the same, but it's very lookalike. So we can see if we can do that this way. But at least for all guys using logback.xml, I would love to have that. It could help us a lot, and more than a lot actually, for any integration gating process. Because today, sometimes we have no logs, we don't have the pods anymore. So it's very, very hard to see how to troubleshoot stuff. So that's something that I think is a kind of a quick win, and we would help a lot the development of ONAP. And again,
I just got a question. This is in addition to, not instead of, local logs, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Good.
Have as many appenders as you want, as far as I understand. So.
Okay. Yeah, because I know we had logging standards that we had to have like an audit log and a debug log and all that stuff. So none of that I don't think is going away. It's just in addition we have standard out, right?
Yeah. No, it's really okay. Just a small addition. Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
On your side, because I think that it's maybe one of the because an open delight, maybe the log collection is a bit different and so on. Obviously, there may be a bit more complexity, and we will help you. And if we cannot make it it's really for the other components that own the code, and especially the one that are using logback. Yeah.
Sven, okay. I have a question. This is Sebastian, yes? From Bell Canada. We are actually looking into that exact same thing downstream at Bell. So but one of our first step is to actually make the logback file configurable in a config map. And I think some component do have that, other component do not, which means that you actually have to make a new Docker image to change the logback file. And I think it's very restraining for now. So maybe we can, you know, work together. We have some component we would like to externalize the logback file and then make those changes so that we can, you know, add the console appender and even change the format. I'm not sure if you guys look into it.
What I did is I take a look at which component gave a logback format. I have seen at least, and we have 30 components roughly, and I think that at least 10 to 15 had a kind of logback.xml files on the Helm chart. So for those who don't have it, yes, maybe the first step is to see how to externalize it. I believe it's not complicated, and if you are willing to help, any help is welcome as usual, and with a lot of pleasure. So yeah, we can do that as a joint effort, and to have this
It's very important for us because it's actually part of our internal deployment to have standard out, because we want this to be sent to, you know, logging tools like Kibana and stuff like that, so that we can investigate. And going into the pod to look in the log file is annoying, and we don't really have all the log stash configuration. We would like just to have it standard log. I think it's easier to manage. Okay, that's good. So maybe we can we can look into that offline.
If you have a list, go ahead. So yeah, Andreas.
Sorry, so it's me, Andreas. We have also, a project ongoing, on Alto regarding centralized logging and so on. And I think we have a team from Tech Mahindra which was working on that already. Had also a kind of list of all these kind of logging format things, and had also suggestions regarding the log formatting and so on. I will also I will tell you to get in contact with you that they may support you on that. Yeah.
Wonderful. Good. Very good. So thank you. Thank you, Sebastian and Andreas. It's really appreciated. So another TSC must have requirements that we have in OM to comply, and then which has consequences on all components that use upstream version. We have to clearly state that upstream components like MariaDB images, like Elasticsearch, Kibana, and so on, images are not part of Phonak. And so we shouldn't host these containers into Phonak Nexus. If you want to just modify a part of them just for configuration, you can use a config map and reuse the official or external image. And so as it's written, so here you have to do all of that. So Christophe has worked on that. There is a list. I think he will reach out to the different PTS that have some components in this list to see how to mitigate that. It's not a very long list. I think that it should be quite easy to tackle. On the OM side, what we will do is that today we have a Nexus repository global value, and we will add so Docker Hub or repository and maybe others if needed. So for offline installation, it's easy to replace this value to a specific internal repository. And also it would be also very clear the ones we are retrieving from Nexus of an app and the ones we are retrieving from external places. So it's clearly a way for us to separate the stuff. So I think that most of the work is on app side. Most of the components are common components. Even so, there are someone.
Sorry, one question. In the case of Logstash, for instance, if you need to install plugins which are specific to what you are doing, you can create your own container with the plugins you want, right?
Christophe, I will let you answer that.
Yeah. So if you need to modify the image, like for example, there is no available upstream image with the set of plugins that are required, and plugins cannot be provided, and plugins obviously are code, not config files, then it's a perfectly valid use case to keep that image, right? But the thing is that for every image that you are going to keep, we will need to ask you for help with license compliance, which means that you would need to state what's the difference between base image that you are using and the final image that is going to be used in ONAP in terms of components, in terms of installed packages and other plugins and their licenses.
So okay. As we are a bit, thank you, Marshall. As we are a bit late, I will try to take the questions at the end if we have time. I'm really sorry, but I would like to reassure that we have all the stuff and we can ask you questions offline and we'll answer in the next day. So no root access from application container. So that means that you have two type of users on a database, and usually the administrator user and the regular users. Administration users should be used only to create databases and regular users, and that's all, in order to mitigate the security risk. And so it's very important to have no root access from your application container, which is a long running container, but either use a classical user for your application container. And if you need to create databases, if you need to create users, you can do that using a job before starting your database, as we have done that for MariaDB components. We have a MariaDB init for that, and for PostgreSQL when you are using shared components. So on MariaDB and PostgreSQL, I think we have all the tools necessary to do that. And so if you are a user of MariaDB shared database, you should have you shouldn't have any issues. If you are not using it, I think there are only two other components that are not using them. And I know that Clump is doing the right stuff. I don't remember for the last one. I think it's Portal. For PostgreSQL, if you are using common component, shared component, it's okay. But it is you have to all the VFC components using a PostgreSQL embedded database will have to comply with that also. On Cassandra, we have to evaluate what does it mean, and maybe and evaluate with the PTL to see all of that. But it's clearly the path we would like to go. For Mongo, as I said, it's a bit more complicated as the user management is pretty bad. So we will have to see how we can do that. And again, there's not a big change. Change. It's just extract your script that you are doing in your app container to a separate job, especially the part where you are creating user tables, creation, and so on can stay elsewhere as it can be done by a regular user.
So the only comment regarding no effort on component side if you are using a shared instance. So it's true for most of the components, but I know at least one component that I call insecure that requires a root access because it tries to access the database that is owned by another service. So in that case, you're not allowed to do that. You should go and have an explicitly shared account or receive account credential from that other service, not use the root account to access the other service database. And in the end of the day, my personal opinion is that accessing database owned by other service is a bad thing to do, but that's my personal opinion.
So the second one is kind of also a way to help operations in general, because some components in the entrepreneur are using SED or other stuff to configure or change the configuration file. And so sometimes the configuration done is not exactly what was meant in the developer mind, because SED doesn't care if it doesn't match, it will not change or will change something that was not supposed to be changed. And so you should have a configuration in a config bath, and Helm can change value at template generation. So that means that the thing that you are doing using SED can be done under using Helm. And obviously, if we have the config file generation is not good, it should fail. Instead of trying to work with not the perfect configuration file. And obviously the sensitive data that you are putting in your config file must not be set on the config bag, but substituted with any containers. All of that, so there are a lot of components complying with that. Huh? So we have a lot of config maps of components inside the OM. It's more on the sensitive data part where we have some work, but if you have this kind of a situation, don't hesitate to reach us and we can help you on doing that. Again, it's very important on the operation part of ONAP, and it's simplify and stabilize the ONAP installation. And so there is a requirement from Telecom Italia on that, on having a very a regular installation that works all the time. So this is will be one of the steps to help us to reach that.
Through OM, you can change the entry point.sh?
Yes.
Okay.
The second one is also, this one is very, very, very important for operational point of view. Some components are not, if they are failing, they are continuing to work or trying to work, but cannot do anything. Their liveness and readiness probe is also up. But as it doesn't work, when we try to use them, there are nasty consequences on other components, and sometimes of other components that reach another component that reach this component. And so when it starts to fall apart, it's very hard to find the root cause. So please, when your component is not healthy, just exit with an exit code different than zero. With that, Kubernetes will see there's an issue, will try to restart your pod. If it doesn't work, we will have a clear view and we can investigate to see why it's happening. When it's not the case, we had, for example, this issue with AF, it's a nightmare to find the root cause. So please do that, knowing that almost all components comply with this. So if you are not complying with this, please do it.
Just small comment that this applies also to the cases when your configuration file is broken or some configuration file is missing. Many of components fail if something really failed, but many of components do not fail if they are missing, for example, TLS certificate, or if they are missing some settings file or something like that. And sometimes they are just hanging there and doing nothing without any logs. So it's really helpful if you provide a root cause in your logs, and it's even more helpful if you just crash every time when you provide an error in your logs.
And I could go even further as saying that the application should always be the PID one. If you're PID one inside a container, then you can even trap when the container is trying to stop and gracefully shut down instead of waiting for the 30 second and then have the sick kill. Because if the application, like the Java process, is PID one, then if Java crashed, then it will return a non-zero code by default, right? So
yeah.
I would actually push for that also if that's possible. It's very, it fits the best practices of Kubernetes.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see just after, it's not exactly the same requirement, but it's very close to what you said. So I'm looking at the hour because I think we are very late. So I'll try to go a bit faster. So no more node ports. We already discussed about that. So as I said, in 99% of the case, there will be no changes because components using internet services FQDN. So that's very fine. The thing that we have to change a robot test in order to verify that and validate. And it's more for the use cases and not for the component, but they should use ingress URL instead of node ports or cluster IP because they think they are inside the cluster for validation. So this one, I have put service mesh POC on top of it, but it's also needed for some service provider. IAF is not the only possible security solution for an app, even if it's the default one today. So we can deploy it behind a reverse proxy and do the work as we want, or use the service mesh. And so your component should be able to work, even in degraded mode, without AF. So this is something that is important for the future. I think that most of the components are complying with that. Even some components are not. We are working to see if we are able to have a daily deployment without AF, as we know that one of the current on-app deployment in production is not using AF. Maybe not on the full on-app, but on an MVP part, in order to enforce this during development time frame. again, so I didn't put any effort on it because it's really up to your component. I took a look to some components, and I would say that the effort is not very high. Even maybe on some corner case, you have some high, there will be some high effort on some components. So don't hesitate to reach us out also on this one to see how we can help you to find if there are some solution on it directly on Helm and not on your Docker. Same thing for MSB, because MSB will break Kubernetes solution, especially when you are using service mesh, because you it's not using a passing authentication tracing headers, it's using IP and the DNS names and so on. It's clearly not fully needed for an app deployment as of today. So I think it would be very interesting to be able not to to have MSB deployed all the time. And again, maybe we will have a daily deployment without MSB to see if it's okay. So HTTPS is obviously mandatory, especially on ports. But encryption can be performed by underlying components. So when we are doing service mesh, and so it's roughly a kind of a resale of an AF part, because most of the time we are using AF for the encryption and TLS part. So it's important to be able to remove HTTPS and also to be able to have your configuration file to access other devices. The scheme, so HTTP, HTTPS, so we can have a kind of toggle on the configuration to make it work. And of course, if you are providing clients like SDC, like a DMAP and so on, it's important to be able to have a client that is able to handle HTTPS and HTTP. So this one is also a best practice that is a long-starting best practice. We should mount rootFS as read-only, so to mitigate security issues if your pod gets compromised. And so we have new templates for the components that will enforce this practice. So again, it's really up to TSC to see if it's a mandatory feature for Gilin or not. What we will do is to do our best to test off to add it, and if it's possible without any change on the component, well done. If you comply to logs to stdout or in the separate volume and config map for reconfiguration, it shouldn't be an issue for your component. So it's kind of a consequence of the other requirements. Otherwise, you will have to see how to create a new Docker generation. And again, we have the habit to do that, so we can help you for that to see how to make this work. It shouldn't be complicated for most of the components. Obviously, there will be some kind of corner case, and we will work on it. And the last one is more formal, or I don't know how to name that, on our GRS review. So as I said, at OM, we are receiving a review for all a lot of components. So for I think it's the commit message is what we will love the most at the end of the day with the code. So we really want to have a clean code message. So as you see, name of the component. So I don't know, NBI, a meaningful title, update NBI version to 5.0z, and one sentence saying that for NBI the version 5.0z adds a new capability and that and that, and that's all. Maybe if you have a lot of more stuff, obviously don't hesitate. The issue ID, as we are forced, change ID, sign off. So again, that's really what could last with our code at the end of the day. If you are going on to GitHub, you don't see the link to the Jira. So this is very important to have a nice commit message. And if you are pulling the code, you will not be able to click on the Jira link too. So this is where you should be the most clear on this. And if it changes OM behavior in any way, but usually if you are a component maintainer, it shouldn't change OM behavior. A documentation must be also provided with the code. So I have been kind of gentle on this on the last release, and I think it was a mistake, because when you are providing a new feature, we should update OM documentation so we are sure to be up to date on the documentation. So if someone is trying to understand what you are doing, you just have to look at the documentation, and it's quite important. And so we have put some links to see how to do good commit messages. This one, it's quite important. Again, it's not a lot of work for you, for yourself, because usually you know all of that. It's just to do it instead of resolve Jira 1-5, which is quite useless as a commit message. So I think I have finished. I'm really sorry because I'm very late. I can take one or two questions, but not more, because I should have stopped anyhow. I know it's a break, so I think everybody deserves a break. But if you have one question or two, don't hesitate. But that will be all.
Hey, Sylvan, just one general comment on the service mesh POC, right? So I know you listed some of the items, right, through the POC, like AAF being optional, MSB being optional. I think for the POC-related requirement, I'm hoping those will be identified as a best-case effort from the teams, not a mandated item for guideline, because unless the POC is complete, we cannot have a finalized recommendation from SecCom which way to go from ONAP and then make the change dependent on that.
Yeah.
Because at least I hope for DTAE, there is a lot of dependency on AAF. I mean, there's some components rely on certificates by default, some are not. We can configure it, but yeah, so depending on what direction or recommendation from SecCom, then it makes sense to make the changes on that front. But yeah, so as long as you can classify the requirements related to POC and track them separately as in best case effort, and then see how that POC evolves, and then we can decide the priority based on that.
Right. So, yeah. If I can chime in a minute, let's take that as an action item to really, Sylvain and Christophe, maybe we can talk about that next week on SecCom, or you and I, or we can all get together offline. But I think we do have to make it clear what we mean by removing AAF, because there are different components of it. So, and I know that there are operators who want the whole thing removed, but you know, DCAE is, we have to take that into account and what that's going to, what the implications of a full removal are.
Yeah, that was supposed to be also my comment, that even through many of those points are marked as service mesh POC, they are required not only for the POC, but also for some operators that are willing to deploy a subset of ONAP components.
And if I may, so the ones that are not TSC must have are the one we would like to have.
So Vijay.
We lost you, Emmy.
No, I stopped talking because Sylvain was talking, so he can go.
I'll
get with Vijay offline.
Okay. So just to recap, the ones that are not TSC must have. If I have understood well the process, we will present them at PTL meeting, and we will want to reach a consensus of them. If there are seems to be too complicated, the goal will be to do our best for this release and to see what are the consequences and so on. We will not mandate all of them if some PTL has some concern on them. So this is so just to be clear, we will try to do our best on all of them. So if we can on the STD outlog, if there is no consensus, we will do our best to reach as many components as possible, with or without any help of the PTL of the component. For example, AF is very complicated, we just ask not to add more stuff using AF without thinking about how to disable this AF support. For AF example, and MSB is the same.
Right, yeah. I think that's something I'm discussing with the other TCA components as well. Like for some of the services, at least the recommendation was enable TLS, right? So they not all of them had configuration by default to turn off TLS. So that's something we're trying to add into the components for Guideline to at least prep that option if you want to disable that going forward. So I can't commit to all of them in this release because there's like 40 containers within DCAE. There are multiple contributions coming from different community members. So I don't know what level of support I will have for Guideline. So that's the concern there.
If there is no reaching consensus, this won't be a must-have unless TSC wants to have it as a must-have. It's not my call. If it's not a TSC must-have, we need to have a consensus from PTFs. If it's a TSC must-have, I'm sorry because it's not my call, so I will have to enforce that. But again, if let's say DCA has an issue with this that TSC must have, that we can have waiver, especially for technical issue. I think it's perfectly normal and to see how we can mitigate on a longer term. So I'm sorry to cut because we are very late. I thank you all of you to have joined this meeting. Don't hesitate to send your remarks offline. Especially don't hesitate also to add on a discuss or on a PTL. In CC, so everybody can have your remarks. We are really open to discuss on this, and we are looking forward to have a very good OM version in Guilin, so we can be less annoying in Honolulu, but we will still be a bit annoying. Thanks a lot, and have a good day.
Thank you for the great talk.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to spend the break with you.
All right.